Good morning. Happy Sunday. Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church. I'm Bill Foster. I'm a member of this church and very honored and pleased to be standing in along with Zan Morgan, who's on our staff here. For our pastors, Paul and Stacy Simpson Duke are away today. And so we're happy that you are here and that we're here to worship together. I would draw your attention to a few announcements, if I may. I believe it's next Sunday, am I right, that the church picnic, the annual church picnic is up. Always a good time at Allmendinger Park. It has been and will be, I think, again, which is a great place to be. Want to make sure that's on your calendars and in your awareness. If you've not been before, make a plan to come and join us. It's a good time. If you have, you know that that good time is had by all, so we hope you will be there. I also am reminded that there's an opportunity to gather supplies for backpacks for the High Cone kids. We often sponsor young people, children who live in the High Cone district not far from us, and I think the deadline is 2 weeks. Sue Ellen Glover is, I think, coordinating this. If you have any questions, and certainly if you have supplies that you would gather, back-to-school supplies that would go in a backpack, those would be due in 2 weeks. Finally, don't forget in your bulletins this morning, as every morning at church, we have commitment cards, and we ask you to fill those in if you would. And pay particular attention to the back, to the commitment opportunities, because these change week to week. And we invite you to look at and think about ways to continue to be engaged in the life of First Baptist Church. And now, friends, the hour of worship is here. The Spirit of our Lord is in this place. Let us prepare our hearts to worship the living God.
Thank you. Please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, you have created this amazing day just for us. We are here to be in your holy presence that we may explore, learn, and experience your love. Show us how to open our hearts to peace and understanding. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name.
Thanks be known to all people.
Pursue the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always.
Remember the wondrous works he has done, all his marvelous works, and the justice he declared.
The Lord, he is our God.
His justice is everywhere,
throughout the whole world.
Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for being here, for being with us, for waiting for us, because, of course, you were here before us. You will be ahead of us, and most assuredly, you are here with us. For this is your sanctuary into which we enter, and you welcome us here. What a relief. Thank you. We need you so much, Lord. We need to be in your presence, to feel you with us, and to know of your deep and abiding love for us. Without you, we are empty, desolate. With you, we are filled with hope again, with new life. And we need hope so badly. Some of our most important relationships are troubled, bruised, or even broken. Our health is sometimes not always so good, and that reality brings unwelcome reminders that our days are numbered. Our future is not so clear. There is so much of which we are not in control. And our world seems to be in so much trouble. If we were not deeply worried, Lord, one might well wonder if we were even paying attention. And so we are comforted by the reminder from Scripture today that your own Spirit intercedes on our behalf when we are weak, worried, or, as is so often the case, misguided. That's good, because we need an advocate. We need your love for us. Your love for us and your power for us is so great that in the end nothing else really matters. Your presence with us renews our hope. At times like this, then, when we really feel you and we really know that you're with us, our joy is beyond what our words can express. We praise you. We honor you. We love you in our own feeble ways. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us again to come into your presence, to be filled up with your Spirit, and again to feel the joy that comes from hope that springs from within. And so we are motivated to pray not only for ourselves, but for others in our midst who are also in need of your care. We pray this morning for Bill and Jenny McKeachy, for Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saul Charlie, Dottie Kassler, and Jody Wilt, Peter Mortensen, Diane Bieber, Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, Kay, Bob, and Barb, Emma McHugh, Jim and Jason Weaver, Aaron Graham. And now, O God, we offer the prayer that Christ taught us to say, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Jesus sat by the sea, telling parables to a large group of people, and the crowd grew so large, Jesus got into a boat and then continued talking to people on the beach. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The word of the Lord. And now it is time for the children to come up to be with Zan.
Good morning. We hear in the gospel, a story, a parable that Jesus tells. And parables can be tricky. Sometimes they make sense, and sometimes they feel a little unclear. But God uses stories and pictures, images to help us. So I have a challenge for you. I have a whole bunch of images, and I'm wondering if you can put them in order. Think it gets more together to do that? Can you try it? There you go. See what you can do. See if you guys can work together and put those in some kind of order. Sometimes we have to work with parables to help them make sense, to give Jesus time to work on us. Figuring it out? We seem to have a beginning. I'm working on how this goes. Good strategy. Something seems to be changing. What's going on, you guys? What's the story? What's happening in our story? Oh, I'm guessing it's the mustard seed, he says. Yeah? Okay, so what's happening? What is it? How does it start so that the grown-ups can't see it? How does it start?
Not having a seed, then something coming out of it, and then it turns into roots, and then the mustard seed comes out of the ground, and it sprouts into flowers, sprout, and it turns into a shrub.
Oh, a shrub. Can you all say shrub? I love that word. Shrub. Yeah, good. So the seed grows, it turns into a shrub. A good word. And then what happens? What happens after the shrub? Okay. Well, so this is a parable. Jesus told the story. A little teeny seed. It grows into a shrub, into a tree. and then birds come and make their nests. I'm going to invite you to listen carefully when it comes to the time of the sermon to hear more about this story as we try to make sense of this parable about the kingdom of God, a seed, a shrub, a tree, birds, and nests. Let's pray together. God, help us think about your story. Help us think about this parable today, and maybe even make a little sense of it. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. There once was a man who said such wonderful things and did such amazing things that people followed him. And as they followed him, they heard about a kingdom like they had never experienced, a kingdom like nothing they had even ever heard of. They couldn't help it but to ask, "Tell us, what is the kingdom like? What is the kingdom of heaven like?" And this time, Jesus answered them. It's like a person who takes a seed, a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds, and plants it in the ground. And the seed grows into a shrub, and the shrub into a tree. And the birds of the air come and make their nest there. These are the words of Jerome Berryman, a man who has written a curriculum called Godly Play. I've told you a bit about it, that he invites us to wonder together. When you're working with children, rather than wrapping up the story and saying, "Okay, here's what you're supposed to know now about God, take it home with you," Jerome invites us to wonder. I wonder if the person who planted the seed has a name. I wonder if the person was happy when the birds came to the tree. I wonder if the birds have names. I love this, that when you're exploring scripture with children, they're quick to say yes, and then often shout out their own name. I love it. There we say there are no right or wrong answers, but when kids see themselves in the story, in the kingdom of God, in the tree, it is a good day. What is the kingdom of God? This kingdom that has birds with names in it, what is it like? Well, it's something that's growing. And I was struck that this shrub growing to a tree doesn't need the birds. The kingdom of God is like that. It is growing. It is on the move in spite of us. I find some comfort knowing that God's kingdom is on the move and is not solely dependent on us. So the kingdom is on the move. And then we think about these birds coming. I think I like birds. I like birds, okay? But there's something about birds that drives me nuts. It's the fact that they build their nest and they keep coming back to the same spot every year. We just moved out of a house where the front porch has a very faithful bird family. And the nest is there every year. And I like those birds okay, except the fact that they build this nest in the same spot right above my front door means that you have to watch out so you don't get pooped on as you walk in your own house. I'm a little anti-birds in that moment. But birds are smart. They come to a good place. And this mustard seed turned into a shrub is a good place. It is a place where we are connected to God's love. God's unconditional love that nothing can separate us from. Neither life nor death. Nor angels, nor demons, nor what's happening now or what's going to happen in the future. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in this nest. In this place, we find forgiveness. In this place, we are called to be our best selves. It is a good place to nest. It is a good place. As I was working through the scriptures, I found myself feeling comforted by the familiarity of the reading, the letter to the Romans that Paul writes, that nothing can separate us from God's love. And then as I was working through it, I found that I moved from feeling comforted to agitated. To agitated because I kept thinking, we have this long list of hardships that feel like they get in the way. Life is hard. I remember the first time I heard this scripture read in church that I remember, and remember the sermon, was when a child from my childhood church, who was autistic, had died by suicide. Life is hard. And so I felt agitated as I was reading the scripture, not agitated with God so much as agitated with our use of this scripture to make sense of hardship. When we have trials and sorrows, we try to make sense of it by saying, God must be needing to teach us something. Or we had to have a lesson, and so God had to give us this hard thing. That doesn't sit so well with me about who God is. I have a friend, Julia, who is a dear friend of mine. We've been in Bible study together for years. And when I'm struggling and wrestling with God about Scripture, she is my go-to lady. And so I was talking with her a couple weeks ago about this Scripture, about that Romans reading, about challenges in life. Julia has a daughter, who's 20, Lainey, who was born with a mitochondrial disease. She's fed through a tube. She's in a wheelchair or lying on the floor at home. When Julia had Lainey, Julia's idea of motherhood and of what Lainey's childhood was going to be like was turned upside down. Upside down. When I spoke with Julia about this passage, she said, "Zan, I do not believe that God handpicked me to be the mother of a child with disease. I don't think God chooses bad for God's people. But I do believe that God comforts me in the darkest of times and shows me paths towards the light if I'm willing to go that way." So when we think about the hardships of life, they are so present. Addiction, unemployment, mental health challenges, broken relationships. May we choose to use the words of the hymn we just sang together, "Lord, walk with me. In my trials, in my troubles, in my sorrow, Jesus, hold my hand." That's what the kingdom of God looks like. I was also wrestling with this idea of nothing being able to actually get in the way of God's love. I started thinking about those nests and those birds, and I started thinking that, yeah, we can't get in the way of God's love. There is always room in the kingdom. But I did think we can make it hard for other people to make their nest. We could take all the sticks. We could knock their nest out. We could have a really big nest of our own. We can make it hard for people to care for those in their nests, the health of the birds in their nests. Last summer, I went to a church camp with a bunch of kids, third grade through 12th grade, on the west side of the state. There was a church called Messiah Church from Detroit that sent a busload of campers to camp for the very first time. I was spurred on and inspired by the camp's commitment to making camp affordable for kids who had never been to camp before. I was also spurred on by the kids coming to camp because they made it clear that week it was a big risk to come. It became very clear during the week that we were going to have to do hard, intentional work to make sure that camp was a positive experience for everyone. As we worked through the cultural clashes that were happening among the campers and the counselors that week, I read in the news that yet another black man, Charles Kinsey, was shot while caring for an autistic man who had wandered from his care facility. I remember sitting around the campfire that night with the black boys from Detroit and feeling so angry at the injustice that people of color experience in our country. I, as a white woman, do not have to fear for my children's safety. I am not pulled over because of the color of my skin. I do not have to prove myself in order to be respected. I have become aware that my white privilege is a part of the problem. That day at the campfire, I had this sense that I wanted to understand more and figure out how to be part of a solution. So I've been doing a lot of reading about white privilege, being mindful of that, being mindful of how big my nest is. Because in the kingdom of God, there is room for everybody. All the birds of the air come. Beverly Tatum, writes about race. She says it like this: "White people intentionally or unintentionally, do benefit from racism. A relevant question to ask is, what are white individuals doing to interrupt racism? Racism is so ingrained in the fabric of American institutions, it is easily self-perpetuating. All that is required to maintain it is business as usual. The task of interrupting racism is obviously not just that of whites alone. But the fact of white privilege means that whites have greater access to societal institutions in need of transformation. And then she quotes another parable of Jesus. To whom much is given, much is required. Our church is committed to having conversations about race. We just finished a time of adult education around race and equity. It is important work of the church and of the people of our church and the greater church to be having conversation. It's an important part of the kingdom of God. So in this shrub, turn to a tree, where birds of the air come and make their nests. I invite you to hold on to that promise that God's kingdom is bigger and better than anything we can imagine. That it is on the move. I invite you to feel that power of the love that nothing can separate you from God's love. Come back to that tree. Come back to the nest. Be in that spot. And as you experience the hardships that come in life, walk hand in hand with Jesus. And let's make sure that our nests aren't too big. That we're looking out for each other. That we are a part of the words and the actions that Jesus taught us. May your kingdom come. The kingdom of heaven here on earth. Amen.
The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. We hear your call to generous giving in the way you meet our needs each day and in the peace you give which passes understanding. Having received so much, we offer all we have, our time, our talents, and money for your kingdom. Bless these gifts for the work of your church. Amen. We share it now with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. God, our Father, as followers of Jesus, we accept our commission from you to invest our lives in others. We will live out your kingdom here with humility, wisdom, and courage, asking your Son to be our model of grace in the world. Give us eyes to see the path of service you desire and ears to hear the cry of the world's needs. May you be our Lord, our light, and guardian in the work you call us to do. We leave here to serve in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.